I'd like to introduce the Lane County Board of Commissioners. As I mentioned, I am Chair Pat Farr. In front of me, in order of seniority, we have Commissioner Pete Sorensen, Commissioner Faye Stewart, Commissioner Jay Bozovich, because he was sworn in first on the same day, and Commissioner Sid Lykum.
I'm 20 seconds behind Jay.
And also, and with us this evening, we have our County Administrator, Mr. Steve Mokrzyjski. Just for the record, Mr. Mokrzyjski began his work as our County Administrator this week. Today is his first regular set of board meetings, and we promised him a very long day, and so far we've come through on our promise. So, I'd like to thank you all for being here this evening. And just a couple of things I will point out is that we do have some... very important person among us, we have Senator Floyd Przanski, who is here. He was very interested in hearing the discussion this evening, and Senator Przanski may have a few words or questions for you, but thank you very much for being here this evening, Senator Przanski. Very good. Then, at this point, there would be just one moment. Too many sheets of paper up here. A few words that I'm going to say regarding what the nature of this hearing. This is not a public hearing to the Board of County Commissioners. This is a public hearing to Dogami. I've asked this meeting to occur to give, in order for you to give public testimony to Dogami. I want to express my thanks in advance to the state agencies that agreed to attend tonight, and especially to Mr. Bowen Balzer, seated to my right, our region's representative with the Oregon Department of Geological and Mineral Industries, Dogami. Mr. Balzer and Dogami have agreed to include the comments heard here tonight as part of their permitting process. Lane County is one of the agencies that Dogami seeks to receive comment from when it's presented with a local mining application. And as such, Lane County convened this meeting tonight in order to include public comment into the Dogami record. This is as a direct response of testimony from our April 15th meeting, where a number of you were in attendance and provided testimony on that day. Let me emphasize this point. The public testimony and the board's conversation this evening must remain focused on the Dogami application. Lane County will eventually receive a permit application as well, but as of today, there's nothing before our staff or our board that we can speak to, nor make any promises or suggestions about. In fact, it is imperative that we do not make any suggestions or comments regarding what we can or cannot do tonight. There's no doubt that permitting quarries and surface mining in Oregon is a complicated process. The testimony that we heard on April 15th served to confirm that. There's clearly a role that both the state and the county plays in permitting, but less clear is the order in which these permits are to be applied for and the communication that is to occur between the myriad of agencies involved. At the core of the issue are competing rights. Residents have a right to enjoy their rural, peaceful way of life, and yet the mineral resources we all depend on must come from somewhere. Oregon's long-established land use laws are designed to protect both the rural way of life and ensure the supply and extraction of an important societal resource is not constrained. Occasionally, these interests conflict. The role of state and local government is to essentially referee these instances. In setting the ground rules for tonight's hearing, I'd like us all to start on that page, please. The agencies in the room tonight are not here to take one side at the expense of the other. They're here to cooperatively and collaboratively seek a middle ground. Unfortunately, a middle ground necessarily implies that no one will get exactly what they want. I recognize those words perhaps sound hollow, given the experience that you've all had, and especially since I'm reading them, they sound pretty hollow, I guess. Given the experience you've all had during your last round of mining and asphalt production that occurred here. What will occur next is that I'm going to invite Mr. Matt Laird to the table, to the podium. Mr. Laird is the Land Management Division Director, and he works for Ms. Marcia Miller, our Public Works Department Director. Mr. Laird will provide a brief description of the county's role in all this. Then I will invite Mr. Von Balzer to discuss, along with the Dogami Board, who will be assembled here this evening. Mr. Balzer is the state's floodplain mining and water quality reclamationist. Mr. Balzer will be joined by other state agency representatives, and they will provide a brief description of the state's permitting role. Once these presentations are completed, I'll invite the public to testify, beginning with Senator Przanski's comments, should he have any to make at that point in time. And at the conclusion of the public testimony, I'll encourage questions from Mr. Brzezinski and or the board of the Dogami representatives. Again, I want to thank everyone here for caring enough to come tonight. This hearing is not a requirement of state or local law. The irony is the public hearing occurred in 1973 when Senate Bill 100 established Oregon's land use framework. A combination of the persistence of neighbors and the commitment to transparency by your public agencies ensured it, and I'm grateful to be party to both. At this point, I'd like to introduce first Mr. Matt Laird. Matt is a public lands manager with Lane County, and I'll turn over the mic to him in just one moment. And to my right is Mr. Vaughn Balzer, and to my left we have Max Hooftel, yes, from El Rapa, Lane Regional Air Pollution Agency. And Mr. Balzer will introduce other speakers this evening. At this point, I'll turn the mic over to Mr. Laird. Mr. Laird.
Rules and laws associated with this site and with mining in general. So it starts with the statewide planning goals, and those were adopted, as Commissioner Farr said, in 1973 with Senate Bill 100, and then they adopted the statewide planning goals. And those goals are there to express the state's policies on land use. And those goals are achieved by local jurisdictions such as Lane County adopting comprehensive plans and zoning consistent with the statewide goals. All of the local codes have to be adopted by the state of Oregon Department of Land Conservation and Development. And in this case, Lane County has been adopted. One of the goals is called Statewide Planning Goal 5, and it's on natural resources. And it was adopted in 1974. Now, some of the natural resources that it protects are riparian areas, wetlands, natural areas, cultural areas, historical areas, and mineral and aggregate. So, how does a piece of property or a site get on the inventory of a significant aggregate site? Before 1996, the rules were Oregon Administrative Rule 660-016, and that is the rules that were applicable to this site when it was adopted. The rules have since changed. In 1996, they changed to OER 660-023. But this site was adopted under the older rules that were in effect. My understanding is this site has a long history of mining, I believe into the 50s, certainly in the 60s, and definitely in the 70s and 80s. The Goal 5 process. So once you have determined that, well, we think we, as a county, we need to go find all these mining sites in the county and figure out which ones are significant and which ones are not. That's kind of called the Goal 5 process. So the first thing the county did was it went out and it collected data. And it collected data on the location, the quality, and the quantity of those resources. And then it prepared an inventory of significant and important sites. Then the county identified conflicting uses, and this is uses that conflict with the Goal 5 resource. So when you're looking at it like that, the resource is the mineral and aggregate. That would be similar as if there was a bald eagle site that needed protection. It's the same type of rule that's in place. The conflict analysis is called an ESEE analysis, and they look at economic, social, environmental, and energy consequences. And based on those ESEE consequences, jurisdictions provide reasons for making a decision to either include a site on the property, to not include it on the property, or to delay and say, it could be good, but we might need more information. In this case, it was adopted as a significant site. So once the local jurisdiction has determined the sites on the final plan inventory, they're then required to develop a program to achieve the goal. And in this case, the goal is to protect the natural resource site. And in this case, the resource is the mineral and aggregate site. So the goal is to protect the site from encroaching uses. Protecting the resource site determines the resource is of such importance that it must be protected. The program to protect the resource was to identify in the comprehensive plan that it was a significant mineral and aggregate resource site and zone it and plan it sand and gravel. The other one is called, you can protect it by zoning it and planning it, quarry mining, but in this case it's sand and gravel in this location. One of the other things they do when they're protecting it, besides applying the rural codes to that, is they don't allow those type of sites to be inside an urban growth boundary if they can avoid it. So that wasn't an issue here, but it has been in some other sites. So public hearings were held in the early 1980s, and in this case, on September 12, 1984, pursuant to Land Code Ordinance number PA892, the site was formally identified as significant mineral and aggregate resource and planned and zoned sand and gravel by the Lane County Board of Commissioners. So what does that mean? Okay, well now it means that Lane Code is applicable to this site, and it's specifically, it's Lane Code's chapter 16.217 on sand and gravel operations. In that section, there's a section on permitted uses, sand and gravel operations, extraction, stockpiling. Those are permitted type uses in this zone. Other types of permitted uses, asphalt plants, cement and concrete plants in conjunction with the sand and gravel operation. Accessory uses such as equipment storage, office buildings, and maintenance buildings are also allowed. So if you wanted to do one of those, you do an analysis of the site improvement standards. So they're going to look at, and this is really kind of more of the operations side, where you're going to look at the slopes, the grading, the drainage, make sure they retain 4 inches of topsoil for cover when they're done, planting of ground cover when they're done, and there's excavation setbacks. It's 150 feet from property boundaries. The next section is called operation standards. The operation standards are 50 feet from property boundaries, so that's a little different from excavation. And it's 150 feet if it's adjacent to a residence or a rural residential zone. It requires road frontage, screen landscaping, access and service roads must be maintained in a dust-free condition, safety fencing if there's any steep slopes within 200 feet of a public right-of-way or a residence, and then stream operations, there's water quality standards that would kick in at that point in time. The other thing, Lane County Lane Code Chapter 16.217, it requires a performance bond to ensure site restoration at $500 per acre. The administration, so how do we do this? The administrative component is looked at by the Sand and Gravel Review Committee. And so what that is, it's a committee that's made up of the Planning Director, the Public Works Director, the Park and Recreation Director, the Director of Building and Sanitation, a hydrogeologist, and a floodplain specialist. So that is who makes up the Sand and Gravel Review Committee. Their job is to determine if operating plans that are submitted in this zone meet the site improvement standards and the operational standards that I was just discussing. The Sand and Gravel Review Committee really, according to the code, can only approve or modify plans. So the way that works is mining is already allowed. That it's a permitted outright use. It's protected under statewide planning goal 5, and it's an allowed use. However, you do have to be show that you can operate and meet internal site improvement and operational standards, and this is the committee that's going to review your plans to make sure that you do that. Decisions by the Sand and Gravel Review Committee can be appealed to the county hearings official. That can be appealed to the Board of County Commissioners, and that could be appealed to the State Board and Land Use Board of Appeals. So the past actions, where are we, or where were we before? So the subject property, it's currently owned by Northwest Mineral Resources. They are primarily owned by Mr. Mike Miller, and they're represented by Kim O'Day and the Law Office of Bill Close. I did want to let you know that Kim is here, and she said that it was, you know, she's paying attention and watching and wants to also hear what people have to say to them. Kind of a little bit of the history of that. In 2011, we started receiving complaints that the site all of a sudden was operating at a much higher level than it had been in the past. People were living on the site in recreational vehicles. We started a compliance action against them. We were going to circuit court with them. At the same time, the applicant filed a sand and gravel review committee operating plan with Lane County. What happened then was there was a settlement at the circuit court level. Basically, they were required to stop work, move the RVs out, and they paid a fine payable to the Head Start of Lane County. We began to process the Sand and Gravel Review Committee application. It was really, in my opinion, lacking detail for us to move forward. And I think the applicant also wasn't exactly sure how they were going to mine the site. At that point in time, we asked them to put the Lane County application on hold, which they did. They then went and worked with DOGAMI, the Department of Geologic and Mineral Industries, the State of Oregon review body for mining. They have been working with DOGAMI for some time. And at this point in time, what they would need to do at the Lane County level to restart their application is file what's called a modification, so they can modify their previous application now that they have more plans, they have more detail. And that's what they would need to do at the Lane County level. As far as coordination actions with DOGAMI, Lane County signed DOGAMI's Senate Bill notice on April 4th, 2014. So I'm sure Vaughn will talk about this a little bit more, but DOGAMI sends a notice to Lane County. We reviewed it and we signed it, said, yes, we're aware that this is coming, and we signed that off. We also submitted response to what's called the DOGAMI memo on April 4th. Following some public testimony at the public comment at the board meeting, I received a packet of information. It had many letters from local people. I put all of those together. I put a cover page summary on it, and I also sent that to DOGAMI on April 17th, basically raising the issues of the neighbor. And then the neighbors also were asking for a public hearing so they could speak directly with DOGAMI, and that is where we are today. So with that, I think I will hand it off to Vaughn.
Thank you, Matt. Ms. Balzer.
All right, I'd like to thank everyone for attending this meeting. I'd especially like to thank the county commissioners for holding this meeting so that we could hear the concerns of the county citizens and Senator Pozanski for attending. Before I start off, I'll make a couple of introductions, at which point then I'll have a very short presentation. We're really here to hear the concerns of the citizens so that we can consider those concerns as we move forward with the permitting process. I also will have some representatives from other state agencies who will join me up here, who will give a very short introduction and provide some basic information for how they are part of this process, what, if any, permits their agency or input their agency has into the process. So with that, I would like to introduce State Geologist Vicki McConnell. She's the director of the agency. And she would like to say a few things. I would also like to note Rachel Lilly is here. She's our permitting coordinator and been a very good assistant for us in this process. And then after that, I'll say my part, and then I will ask the other state representatives to come up and speak.
Thanks, Vaughn, and thanks, everyone. And I appreciate the opportunity just to say hello and let you see my face and know that we're out there. And we're certainly interested in hearing your interests, your concerns, and how we can incorporate your information into our considerations. And one of the things Vaughn will be doing is giving that bigger overview of how does the local land use authority permitting then fit with the statewide regulatory permitting that we do for surface mining and aggregate, which is our responsibility. We're a state agency. This is a statewide program. And within that, though, it's about, I want to make it clear, we do the state regulation for the operation of the mine, for the life of the mine, with the ultimate goal of what is that proper reclamation to whatever the land use authority has said is its secondary beneficial use. So what we're trying to do is minimize offsite impact during the operation of the mine and making sure that it's conditioned in such a way that at the end of the life of that mine, whatever the land use authority has said is supposed to be reclaimed to, that that can happen, and that it's properly bonded that that can happen as well. So even though it sounds, I know it sounds, okay, that's overkill, but it's very important to realize that your land use authority on what you may or may not do through zoning is at the local level. The permitting for the operation of the mine for reclamation is at the state level. So that's really, I just wanted to make that clear, and I'm sure Vaughn will cover that information a little bit more as well.
All right, thank you again. And so I don't have time in this format to go through our complete permitting process. What I will do is I will address some general topics related to how we work with the local agencies, as Vicki alluded to, and then I will talk to some very specific conditions that exist at the site that influence our level of regulatory authority. And one thing I want to make absolutely clear is we have not issued our permit yet. You know, we have certainly are happy to be here to hear the concerns of the citizens, and we will take those concerns, the ones that have been submitted by the material from the county, directly from the citizens, as Matt Laird had said, as well as the other comments from the other state agencies. We will consider all of those, as well as the testimony that occurs tonight. That will be part of the deliberations that we do prior to issuing the permit. I've made commitments to the folks that have submitted comments through Diana Michaels, and I appreciate her effort as kind of a local contact. And I will respond back to all the concerns that have been submitted to us using her as kind of a conduit so that I don't have to contact everyone individually, which greatly helps me out in my workload and responsibilities. And thank you, Diana, for helping us out in that capacity. So let's see, so the Dogami permitting process, as Vicki alluded to, Dogami does not have siting authority. We do not get to choose where a mine site is located, so we don't necessarily have a yes or no that a mine site can happen on a particular parcel. And really the eligibility for a parcel of land to be mined resides with the land use authority. As Matt Laird stated, in this case, the site is on Lane County's comprehensive plan, and so that decision was made sometime in the past. Even though Dogami does not have a public comment process or a public notice process, we certainly are well aware of the concerns, and we have a longstanding policy of listening to citizens when they express those concerns to us. It's one of the things that I enjoy doing about my work, even though a lot of times I tell folks things that they don't necessarily want to hear. And again, we will be accepting the comments that are submitted through this process, through this testimony, and we will consider those as we move forward. As Matt Laird said, there is a notification process that the state agency has with the local land use authority, whether that's a local county land use authority or a city municipality. Basically, land use is required before our mining permit is a valid permit. When we received a complete application from Northwest Mineral Resources, that triggered what we refer to as a Senate Bill 97 notification, and there are lots of Senate bills out there, so this refers specifically to legislation that went forth in I believe, 1991. That notification is a simple two-part letter that basically asked the county to respond, and ideally with a relatively prompt response, which Lane County has done, and that the two questions are really, does the site have land use? And the second question then is, would the county prefer that Dogami withhold the issuance of the permit until there's an additional land use process, or would the county allow Dogami to proceed with the permitting process? In this case, Dogami proceeded with the permitting process that resulted in us sending out a circulation to other agencies as well as the county that included our complete package of permit materials, including a draft permit and draft permit conditions. That was sent out for a 30-day public comment period, which closed on April 19th. And again, even though we are after that April 19th deadline, we are certainly accommodating in hearing the testimony that is put forth this evening. In terms of the Northwest Mineral Resources Saginaw site, there is a large poster, and there were handouts that were provided. I think they might be on the table out front. But basically, mining at this site predates Dogami's authority. Our regulatory authority was implemented in 1972 with the Mine Land Reclamation Act. Mining at this site, as Matt Laird stated, dates back into the 50s and 60s. We used historical aerial photography to identify about 69.6 acres, which are defined by this red polygon. So that is the area that we identified through aerial photography as the area disturbed in 1968. And so that was the best documentation we had. We consider that our acknowledged area that is exempt from Dogami regulations. And I'll come back to that in a little bit. The area that we're considering today is really the pending permit area designated by the white and black polygon. So in 2011, the operation Northwest Mineral Resources had a significant project. It was an ODOT project for paving I-5, and that project ultimately led to Dogami issuing a notice of violation for conducting mining activity outside of the exempt boundary. Northwest Mineral Resources has since reclaimed the area outside of that boundary, and that effectively brought the site into compliance with that notice of violation. Since the site is in compliance at this point, Dogami cannot hold that past violation against them in their future permitting endeavors. The proposed permitting action that we're considering now applies specifically to the 23 acres in the white and black boundary. Although some mining operations may continue in the red polygon, again, those operations in that area are exempt from our regulations by state law. So Dogami is still in the process of working through this permit and considering the testimony and concerns that have been raised, and we will be very deliberate in that process, and we will certainly circle back with folks and talk to them before we issue this permit and explain our permitting action. So now there are several other permitting agencies that and permits that the operation may need, one of which Dogami administers on behalf of DEQ under a memorandum of agreement, which is a processed water WPCF 1000 general permit, which allows them to process sand and gravel with water and dispose of that water on site through infiltration and evaporation. In addition to that, there is an existing water right, and I believe Michael Maddock, the water master, is here, and he can speak to that in a second. We also have Jeff Ziller of ODF&W. The water right has a point of diversion, and I'll let you folks talk to that if you want to come up to the table briefly. And then we have Max with LaRapa, who will talk about the air quality contaminant discharge permit, and Gene Wong of DEQ, who can talk about a wood waste landfill that is located on the premises. So with that, I'll go ahead and hand it off.
Sure. I'm Michael Maddock. I have the wonderfully pompous title of State Water Master for District 2. I work for the Oregon Water Resources Department. We are a water use regulating agency. We focus on whenever anybody takes control of water for beneficial use, the from surface water, they have to have a water right to do that, some type of permit authorization from the state of Oregon. There is a water right at the site that dates to 1962 for industrial use. That was for operation of a ready-mix plant and gravel crushing and washing. That right still exists in our books. It's a valid right of record. Were they to need some other kind of a water right, there might be some opportunity to do that through a limited license, but they could probably not get a new permanent water right out of the Coast Board.
I think.
Okay. I'm Gene Wong. I'm an engineer with the DEQ, or Department of Environmental Quality. I'm not sure if anyone or any of the audience knows that there's actually a old wood waste landfill in the vicinity of this pending permit boundary. And it's roughly extends up here, so it's at the far northern boundary of the permit area. It was actually closed in 1989, and the most recent responsible party or owner was Weyerhaeuser. There's wood waste in there. It was closed with a cover, a soil cover. The landfill itself is not much of a problem. It's basically bark and old wood waste and other waste that came from the mill operations back then. And it's not a problem if the landfill is left contained and undisturbed. Currently, there hasn't been any groundwater issues from this landfill, so we've actually stopped monitoring of the landfill. But at the same time, it's still a permitted facility, which means that it has to be maintained so it can't be disturbed. I'm basically the DEQ staff responsible for ensuring that the landfill is inspected and maintained such that the wood waste does not negatively affect human health or the environment. And what that means is, you know, if you take the waste and you uncover it and dig it up, some of that waste still has some amounts of wood waste type materials, heavy metals, things like that, tannins and lignins, that could enter a surface water, and that would be an environmental degradation. So basically, my main concern is ensuring that the operations that Dogami would permit do not negatively affect that small area that has old landfill cells.
Hi, my name is Max Heffley. I'm an environmental engineer with Lane Regional Air Protection Agency. I'm the permitting section manager there. At LRAPA, we have about 100 categories for requiring permits for industrial and commercial activities. A few of those could be potential permit sources for this activity. We don't regulate the mine or the quarry, but we do regulate the, say, the crushing equipment or the asphalt processing equipment. Those permits have a few requirements. One of those primarily would be to prevent particulate matter from becoming airborne. And the standard is that they take reasonable precautions. A few of those things could be applying water to transfer points, watering their yard. Permits also require prompt removal of track out and the controlling of speeds on, say, unpaved roadways. We do respond to citizens' complaints for odors and dust, so that's one role we take in this. And we also periodically do emission inventories and can potentially provide some very basic dispersion modeling, which is a way to figure out how much dust is being transmitted off-site through some dispersion models. I guess I'll leave it at that.
Thank you very much.
At this point, I'm going to prepare to open the public hearing for Lane County and restate that Lane County convened this meeting tonight in order to include public comment into the Dagami record. The public testimony and the board's conversation this evening must remain focused on the Dagami application. Mr. Balzer and Dagami have agreed to include the comments heard tonight as part of the permitting process. So please direct comments to Mr. Balzer and to Dagami. The board is here to listen to the comments and will make no comments as such.
I thought we were gonna hear from the State Water Wildlife Agency.
Thank you.
Yeah, and so the water right that the facility does have does require, it takes water out of the coastal fork of the river, and Jeffrey Zoller can talk to fish screening that would be required at the point of diversion for that water right.
Thanks.
I was gonna speak, but I thought, well, we're the one agency that doesn't have any permitting whatsoever involved in this thing. We're basically technical assistance and recommendations to Dagami on what might be the best practices for the plan. And I guess a couple things that we do go on. We do have a Oregon revised statute that says we will prevent the serious depletion of any indigenous species in the state or their habitat, and that's part of what we'll be working on to try and ensure that our natural resources are being protected.
Thank you very much, Mr. Balzer. Any further testimony?
I don't have any. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Commissioner Sorensen, for pointing that out. I'll say again that I convened the meeting tonight in order to include public comment into the Dagami record. At this point, I will open the public hearing and ask Mr. Scott Beiler to step forward. Mr. Beiler is the representative of the neighbors group, and he's going to give a few extra comments.